How many of you realize that God is blessing the church? Can you see the difference in how things are going and the unity that we're coming to? That's a great thing. And are the hearts changing? Are you learning things in your heart? Are you learning that God is real? You know, we sometimes in a worship, you worship and you follow the words and you say, you know, you know scriptures and whatever. Dan kind of spoke about that this morning. You know, you can say it, but do you know it for yourself? Do you know what's really going on in your heart, in your world, in your spirit for yourself? Can you see what God's actually doing in your world? Can you see what he's manifesting in you? You know, I see changes in a lot of you. And the reason I do is because I know what word has been put out there. And when you can bring that word back in a manifestation as well as speaking it, in other words, are you living a life of love? Are you living a life of obedience to God? Are you living a life where you exercise faith? Can you point out times that you're exercising faith in God? Here's something I wanted to say about faith. It's kind of like what patience is like. It's an enduring. Faith is an enduring too. So sometimes we have things that come before us and we say, oh man, I'm not going to be able to do that. We say that to ourselves. That is done. I cannot do that. Do you know that's the time God wants you to exercise faith? Well, how is God going to check that or help you in that or know that you have faith? There are things that are going to happen and you say, man, I don't know if I can take this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't even know if I can really think this or know this or whatever it may be. That's your time. That's your time for it's a choice that's being made. That's your time to say, you know what? Even though I don't see anything, any way out of this or around this or through this or anything, I am going to exercise faith. So I'm going to believe God in this situation. Does that make sense? I'm going to believe God in this situation. Sometimes we give up too quick when the faith comes to be exercised. This is all part of what I'm going to talk about today. The faith comes to be exercised and we say, I can't do that. And we walk off. I'm talking about walk off in our thought and in our mind. Oh, I can't do that. You automatically dismiss it. When is faith going to be exercised to the point when you say, okay, God, I say that I communicate with you. I say that I talk to you. I say I believe in you. Help me to stand on this thing right now. Let's believe you for what you can do for me right now. A lot of times we compare this to things in this physical world. But the thought is the problem, isn't it, Ceci? The thought is where you have to do this is how you think. Because you can't do anything in this physical realm until you get the thought right anyway. Isn't that true? You're not going to be able to do it. So get the thought right. Think spiritually, because didn't it say those that are going to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by it, you think? Can you point out something to me in your life? I'm not talking about in the physical. Something that you thought, something that's working within your world, within your heart, and you say, I followed the Spirit in that thing. I didn't follow what I normally think. I didn't follow what I wanted to do in the flesh. I actually followed what the Spirit said to do. I heard something. And people say, well, wait a minute, do you mean the voice of God? It doesn't have to be the voice of God. It could be the thought of God, which is the voice of God. He gives you the thought at the very time that you need it. What does that scripture say? Take no thought, doesn't it say? Take no thought. Don't take your own fleshly thought about what you're facing right then. Take the thought of God. Do you realize that God is always there to give you a thought of him? It's important, I think, to read the scripture that came to me just now. I want you to listen to something here. We say, well, I don't even know if I ever get a thought of God. I don't know if I ever do this and do that, whatever. Hey, let me show you something. Now listen to this. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. So where are God's thoughts? He doesn't need him. He's God. So where's he putting his thought? To you. He's putting his thought to you. He already knows what he thinks. He's God. So who is he doing all of this for? You. So he's putting his thoughts toward you. This is what God is doing. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. There's so many that you can't list them and make up an order to them. There's a lot of them. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered. So is God always giving us thought? So why do you feel like you don't have any thought of God there? If he's always giving it, why do you feel like you're empty, like you don't have it? God is constantly, by his Spirit, giving us thought. Now, here's where I think the problem comes in. Do we take the time to listen? Do we believe that we can listen? He said, can I hear the voice of God? You're hearing it now. Can you hear it inside your head in a thought? Yes. God comes and speaks to me all the time. He brings thoughts. And I think, whoa, Lord, he brought me a thought this morning. And I may say it today, too, because it's part of the predestination, though. But he brought me a thought this morning. It says, known are his works. Known are the works, all the works of God from the beginning of the world. Known. Known to who? It's known to him, but what is he making known to now? You. He's making known all his works from the beginning of the world. Isn't that powerful? He's going to bring the mysteries to you. He's going to bring how he did things to you. He's going to talk to you like he talked to you in the beginning. So what have I told you? Didn't I tell you you were a word from the beginning? Yes, you're a word from the beginning. Do you think you had conversations with God? You just can't remember them, huh? So what does God say? I'm going to bring them to remembrance. You had conversations with God. If you're a word of God from the beginning, did he have conversation with you? Yes. He had conversation with your spirit that's in you. We know you as Seth. We know you as Claudette. We may know you as Sessie or whatever. But that spirit in you, he had conversation with his word, with his name from the beginning. And he brings that into a remembrance of what he did at that time. So you are a word from the beginning. Here's something else I want to tell you. Were you predestined to be here this morning? Stop and think about what I said. Are you predestined, Eveline, to be sitting in that chair this morning listening to this word? God knew that from the beginning. He knew what word was going to be preached. So are you predestined to be who you are? Are you ordained unto salvation? Everyone in the sound of my voice here, those online, everybody, you're ordained unto salvation. Well, why did God do that? Because you're part of him. You were a word from the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Was that you from the beginning? He spoke you into existence. I've said this before. This is what God did. So that's why you're here now. That's why God is bringing the word back to you. He's bringing back the conversation you had with him from the beginning. Oh, there was a conversation. You know, when God talks about conversation, he's not talking about like what we do between two people. He's talking about your whole lifestyle. He's talking about how you think, how you walk, how you talk, everything. And I'm not talking in the physical. I'm talking about how you walk here, how you think here, how you walk and talk here, how you walk in your world, the spiritual part of you. Remember, we spoke to you before about the soul being the part that's the earthly part of you and the spirit being the heavenly celestial part of you. That's why there's two different words. So one is of the earth, earthy. Doesn't it say that in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? So there's an earthly type of you, which is a soul. It's still spirit, but it's just a little less because it's of the earth. Then you get to the heaven, which is the celestial, which is the place where God is. That's going to be a different type of spirit, a different type of strength, isn't it? So this is what God is talking to us about. Now, guess what God's doing? He's going to bring earth and heaven into a one. Isn't that right? And then that soul will be changed into total spirit then, because everything will be celestial. Everything be according to the will of God. He's going to bring that together into a one. Isn't he teaching us things, bringing us to a place where we can leave this, not worry so much about what our flesh wants, and bring our mind into a place where the Spirit of God is speaking to us? He said we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus while we're walking around here. People, they take that, read that, and they don't think it's true. You can sit in a heavenly place in God while you're walking here. You can have a celestial mind and come out of the terrestrial, the earthy, and attain into a mind of Christ and yet still be in this body here. People think that's impossible. No, it's not. If God is a spirit and he can work with the spirit that he put in you, how is that impossible for him? It's spirit to spirit. It's spirit to soul until you get to spirit. Isn't that true? God can do that. He made it. That's the thing that's so important about that. So if God made it, can he do it? If I make somebody, let's go to something here. I'll show you. Ephesians 2:4. We're going to start at 4. Listen to what this says. Now, this is some reading here today, but I want you to listen to what it says. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's what moved God to do things for us. He loved us. He loved the word that he put you into, your word spoken from the beginning. He loves his own word. Think about that. So his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. When we were dead in sins, he still loved us. Or else we wouldn't have been coming to a place of resurrection, huh? So when we were dead in sins, God loved us so much, he brought a way for us to be resurrected so we didn't have to stay there. Isn't that true? Very powerful. By grace, he said, it's all by his work. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I didn't realize I was going to read that today for what I said earlier. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come. Now, let me tell you something. In the ages to come. You are in the age of the apostle right now. This is a very important age. You know why? Because God's going to start bringing forth the same things you read about in the book of Acts. The apostolic era is upon us right now. This is the apostolic age for God to be able to do the things you read about in the book of Acts. Think about what I'm saying. It might be good for you to read the book of Acts and see what sort of things God did through his apostles, because he's going to do the same thing in your world. Very powerful. Okay? So, from those ages, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is where we get into a problem. We think if I do this, go through your list and everything, God just has to give you salvation. That's not how it works. It's not because of works you do, it's because of the works he does. And that's what grace is all about. He performs the work. You allow him to do it. You let it work in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You let the thought of God permeate you and come to a place where you say, I'm going to follow that always. I'm not going to listen to any other voice. I'm not going to listen to my flesh. I'm not going to listen to any demon, any devil. I'm not going to listen to any foul spirit. I'm going to listen only to the Spirit of God. That's what you make up within yourself. Your mind will be better. You'll have more peace. You won't be burdened down because now God is with you carrying that burden. Carrying that burden. It doesn't mean you don't ever carry a burden anymore. It means you don't ever carry it alone. Does that make sense? There's things you have to learn through the burdens that you have, but you're not going to be alone anymore. God is going to help you with that. This is a powerful thing to understand that this is what God came to do. So, very good stuff. Out of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What did I tell you? Are you ordained to salvation? God already ordained that you should walk the way that you're walking. And I'm talking about your walk here. God ordained that from the beginning. That's a hard concept for us to understand. It may be, but understand you're talking about God. You're not talking about man. You're talking about God. Could he ordain your walk from the beginning? Could he ordain how you live your life every day? He did do it. That's what this is telling us. He ordained how you think so that even what you manifest is going to be him and not of the flesh. That's the ultimate goal that you're going to ordination that he did for you, that you will manifest the things that God said that are going to be manifested and not the things that the flesh says. You will have complete dominion over your flesh. That's the ultimate goal. Isn't that the goal, Jacob? You want to have dominion over every part of flesh. Now, here's what man says. They say flesh is this. This is just a facsimile of the real flesh. The real flesh doesn't have this around it. This is what man calls this is flesh, right? What God calls flesh is the center of your mind, how you think. The old man that's inside of you. The body that's within. It's a spiritual body, but it's a body that's within. And that's what motivates you to do the things that you do. So that this follows that. And you start doing things. That's how it manifests, right? So you want to understand that God is telling you there's a part in you that's eternal. So when we die, what is the part that goes back to the dust? What's the other part? Does it not live eternally because it's a spirit inside of you? So people think, when I die, that's the end of it. What if I told you you're just beginning? You're just beginning another life. And how you spend that life, what did God say? He talks about judgments. He talks about things that are pertaining to life, eternal life in him. Didn't he say he would resurrect it all? Whatever's of damnation, that'll be resurrected. Whatever's of the life in Christ, that's going to be resurrected, isn't it? So which one would you rather be in? Life. I choose life. I choose life in Christ. I choose eternal life in him. And that's all going to be judged according to how you serve God right now and right here. Brian calls it the here and now. How you serve God here and now is going to make the difference. How do you want to see him? Do you want to see him in peace? Or do you want to see him in judgment? Wouldn't you rather be judged now and not be judged afterwards? I tell people all the time, think about a kite flying up in the sky. They put a tail on it, don't they, on a kite? Well, think about sins that way. Do you want your sins trailing behind you so that when you come up before God, God say, oh, yeah, I see that kite tail. I see all them sins you never took care of. See where I'm going with this? So why not? Don't put the kite up at all. Just let all your sins go forward to God. Everything that you have, confess it to God. And be truthful. When you know you messed up, be truthful to God. Honesty, huh? Forgiveness. Does God forgive? Remember all that lesson I taught you about forgiveness? Who forgives first? It's God, isn't it? If he didn't forgive us, what are we doing here? If he didn't die on the cross, what are we doing here? If our sins weren't taken care of, what are we doing here? We have to understand that God has already made the plan. We just have to walk in it and follow it. Okay? So he says we are his workmanship. You mean God fashioned us and made us the way we are? Yes. I'm talking about the man in you. He did this one too, I say. This one out here too. But the one in you is the one he fashioned because he wants you to be like him. He says, you are his workmanship. When I think about workmanship, I think about people fashioning. You know people that have a talent in art? They can make statues and they can make all kinds of things. They can fashion it with their hands or they may paint a picture or whatever. And sometimes we say to ourselves, "Whoa, I wish I could do that. That's beautiful." Well, God did it from the beginning and his workmanship is beautiful and it's perfect. That's what you are. That's what you are. You're the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of holiness, because he made you from the beginning by spirit. So when it talks about the beauty of holiness, now you understand what it is. It's his workmanship. It's what he's done. Isn't that powerful? Very good stuff. So we're his workmanship. Let me read another scripture to you. This is Romans chapter 8. I love this, by the way. Starts at 8:28. Now listen to this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So, do you realize that you had a purpose in God when he spoke you into existence? You are called according to his purpose. He knew you'd be sitting here today listening to this word. When did he know that? All the way back when he created everything. That's a hard concept for us because man can't do that. But God can see through his creation and see everything it's going to do and keep track of all of it. How do we know that? Didn't he say, I even know the numbers of hair on your head? That's in Matthew. He says, I even know the numbers of the hairs that are on your head. Wait. I'm bald and I still have hair. I feel it. He knows the number of that. He knows the number of hairs on my chest because it's still hair. But he knows the number. Do you know the number of hairs on your head, Terry? You think you know them? No way. I look at all that pretty hair on Evelyn. Can you number every hair on there? Gosh, can you number every hair, Sussy? That's an amazing thing. But he can track all of that. There's no big deal to him. Why does God bring it down to something infinitesimal like that, even a hair? Why? He wants to know that you are his workmanship. He knows everything about you. Everything about you. Even in this physical realm of how much hair you have. And each hair, he keeps track of everything. So we say, I can't juggle all those balls like that. There's no way I could do that. Yeah, God doesn't have to juggle. He knows. He knows everything about his creation. And he knew it from the beginning. He predestined it to be so. Wow. Isn't that cool? Then he says this, for whom he did foreknow, this is verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So what did he predestinate you to do? To be conformed to the image of his son. That was God's original purpose. We jumped out of his purpose, didn't we? We took on defilement. We started to sin. We did all kinds of things. We took a thought other than God. We opposed God. But God said, I know you're going to do that, so I'm going to make a way for you to come back to me. I will send my son, have him die for your sins, so you can have a way to come back. Whew. I'll make a great sacrifice. He did that, didn't he? Very powerful. So we're predestined to be what God wants us to be. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is. He's the firstborn from many brethren. He's the first one to go through this change. Now we're going through it, aren't we? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God's performing operations on us. He's justifying us. He's glorifying us. God is doing that. And we say, oh, no, I'm getting my own glory. I've done this, 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 and this. I can bring my own glory to me. Look at what I've done. God said, that's not the glory I want. That's pride. What I want is for you to deny the flesh. And when you deny your flesh, you'll see the glory of God. Flesh is what stops you from seeing the glory. How you obey your flesh stops you from seeing the glory. How you yield to your flesh stops you from seeing the glory. Does that make sense? You can't see it if you're veiled in the flesh. Let's get rid of the veil. And let's have spirit to spirit, celestial in God, celestial thought, celestial mind. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let's change the mind. Let's be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Doesn't it say all those things? And when you do that, then God starts to show you what? Let's get that flesh out the way. Now I can show you spirit. I can show you my kingdom. I can show you what I'm doing for you. You'll be able to see it. Only God can change a man or a woman. Only God can do that. I've seen some people that were awful people, but once they got to know God, God changed them. Change is a good thing if God does the change. Change is a good thing if God's the one doing the changing. Sometimes we change, and we change for the worse. Isn't that true? We were a certain way. Now we've really become a certain way, some kind of way. We have become something else. Huh? I had a friend of mine used to say something other else. We become something other than what God wants us to be. Isn't that true? But do you think, look at this word here. He said he predestined you to be the way he wants you to be in conforming to the image of his son. He wants us to do that. So he's going to be right in the mix helping us to do it, right? That's why I said you're not alone. God's doing this for you. Let me read one more to you. This is cool. 2 Timothy 1:8. Now I'm going to bring something else to you here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. This is Paul speaking. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Are there going to be times there's going to be an affliction of the gospel? It may be a tribulation working in you trying to follow the word of God. You have the gospel preached to you and trying to live that. Sometimes that adversary comes and opposes, and there's going to be an affliction for a while, huh? But God said, I came to heal all affliction. I came to heal the afflicted. See how that works? And he comes to do that. But listen to what else it says there. Nor me as prisoner be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. That's the second scripture we read about being called. God called us. Whether you answer the call and follow the call and continue to walk in the call is up to you. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I like. Before the world began. So wait a minute. Deli, you're sitting here now. Did God do something for you before the world began, before there was ever a world? Did he know you'd be sitting here now? Yes. So these things that God has done, what does he want you to do? He wants you to follow him, because only a God could do something like that, and we should worship a God that can do that for us. Shouldn't we? The other gods that men worship, these idols and stuff like that, can they do that for you? No. Can money do it for you? Can you beautifying yourself do it for you? But see, we put our minds into other things, don't we? We think if I do this, if I do that, that'll make my life better. And you're talking about things here. What God wants you to do is turn this inward and see what God is trying to do in you. All of these things are spiritual things, and this is what God is trying to show you. Before the world began, he did this for you. That's a concept, isn't it? Before the world began, he already had you in mind and what he was doing for you. That's mind-blowing to me. If I think about it, that's mind-blowing that he did that. I'm going to read that scripture I told you about earlier. Acts 15. If you don't know where it's at, you're going to know where it's at now. Acts 15. This is cool. 15:18. One scripture. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Every work, everything he did was known to him before he did it. From the beginning of the world, which includes you. It was known to him what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, where you're going to do everything before the world began. What a powerful God. So are you predestined to be in these chairs this morning? Yes, you are. God predestined you to be in a place to hear his word so that you can say, I heard the word and now I must live it. Now I'm making up my mind to follow it. Now I'm going to be obedient to it. Now I'm going to be faithful in it. Now I'm going to trust it, and I will walk, and my life will be changed from a fleshly life to a spiritual life. It's an operation of God, and it's by his grace. His grace performing the work is what does it. Isn't that powerful? The grace of God is what's bringing it forth. Grace is the work God does that you can't do. Grace is the power of God manifested in your life. This is grace. It's by grace that we sit here now. It's by grace that we stand. It's by grace that you're hearing this word. You didn't have to be here. You could be out all the way across the street over there somewhere and go, Wayland's Water World, I'm having me a good time today because it's hot. You see what I mean? But you don't have to be here to hear this, but you are. There's something God has in store for everybody that hears this word today. Does that make me anything special? No, it doesn't. What happens is that God is speaking from heaven through somebody that he sent to preach. And then we preach it, we preach the gospel, and the gospel brings you in where you can be saved. It's the word of God that does it. And who is the word? Is it Christ himself? What have we been learning? He is the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Drop down to verse 14 of John 1, and it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So was he a word from the beginning? He's a word. He was manifested for our sakes from the beginning. And you say, wait a minute, from the beginning, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, wait a minute. So what happened 2,000 and something years ago? That was God's manifestation to you so you know it happened. But in the plan of God, he had already done it. From the foundation of the world, God already made provision for you because you're precious to him. He called you with a holy calling. You're predestined to hear the words that you're hearing today. Don't take it lightly. This is not some, you know, we place things. Have you ever tried to put a square peg in a round hole? You know those blocks the kids have and they have, the, you know, the shapes in there? You ever try to put a square peg in a round hole? It doesn't work, does it? You got to find the right thing to put in there. God found the right thing. He plugged you into him. Found the right thing. And his workmanship can mold you and make you so you can be in God exactly what he wants you to be. You don't have to be somebody else. That may be the square over here, somebody else. But God fashioned you as the round, and you're going to fit in the right place. You see how that works? And then he's going to find a place for the square one. He's going to find a place for the triangular one. All of them, because now he's made you to fit into the plan of God, which you're part of. Does that make sense? So you don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to copy anybody else. You don't have to emulate anybody else. Just be who you are in Christ, and you'll fit in the plan of God. You'll fit. That's the way it works. So don't try to copy somebody else. You be the best you can be in God. And know that you are predestined to be that. You're predestined to be that. Isn't that cool? Those whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. We've been predestinated unto salvation, predestinated unto the call. And you are called, chosen, and faithful. That's what it says in Revelation, huh? At least we hope you are. If you're called, right, then you're chosen. You get chosen. And if you're chosen, ordained to be here, then you should be faithful, huh? Are we all faithful to everything God's asked us to do? Let's see. Let's see you manifest it. I talked about manifestation a week or two ago, didn't I? Manifestation of good and evil. What are you manifesting? If you've been predestined, you should be manifesting what God put in you from the beginning. Isn't that what it should be? I'm looking for it. You say, well, you're not God. No, but I've been sent by God to preach this gospel. And guess what? He's given me discernment. I'm looking for the things that God says is going to happen in every one of us. I'm looking for it in me. And I'm looking for it in you. God goes before us. He also follows behind us, doesn't he? He's got us taken care of front and back. And I'm looking for what God is doing in every one of us. Does that make sense? I'm looking. You should be looking too. You should be seeing the manifestation of what God is doing in your life. If you don't see it, if you don't see any fruit, you need to check yourself. You need to examine yourself and see why there isn't. Does that make sense? Manifestation of God is great, guys. His predestination puts you in a place in Him where you can have confidence that God knows you and you know Him. Does that make sense? Very good stuff.